take them one at a time. Okay, so first thing, a few things to take up. Okay, so the first thing we want to take up is Matt's question, which is the unification of the these two components of Kiddush Hashem, which we've set up. Okay? So does anyone think about that? So I'm thinking it's like this, is that the basic idea of the Kiddush Hashem is the mitzvah is to give your life for the Torah, okay, for the system, okay. Now that takes two forms. Okay, one form is if I'm starting with the second one, is if someone actually is attacking the system. So you attacking the system as a whole, right? Attacking Klai, like there's a group of Klai Yisrael or it's a Shmad, right? Attacking the system, so then you have to stand up for it, right? You have to stand up for it. You have to give your life for it, and if you give your life for it, that's Kiddush Hashem, okay? And that's one form. So you're giving your life for the system. It means the system is being attacked, and you give your life for it. The other way is that there are certain components of the system which warrant giving up your life. And therefore, if you give your life up for those components, you're giving your life up for the system. Whereas those three halakha, those are the big three. Those are components of the system, and insofar as, and they warrant giving up your life. So therefore, insofar as you give up your life because of your commitment to those three things, you're giving up your life for the system. And that's a Kiddush Hashem. There's a kiyum beyond just the fact that you're keeping those three mitzvahs, but that's the kiyum of Kiddush Hashem. Because the kiyum of Kiddush Hashem is when you give up your life for the system. Okay, so that's going to be the thing, the particulars within the system which warrant giving up your life. When you do that, when you give your life up for these things, then you're involved in it. That's Kiddush Hashem. Or, again, if someone's attacking the system and you give up your life to protect the system, that's giving up your life for the system. So that's Kiddush Hashem. Yeah. So if that's the case, so now when it comes to a guy, so the guy could partake of, so you can't have the guy partake of within the system itself, as a component of the system itself, because he's not really in the system. In other words, the idea is like, within the system itself, there's certain things which demand that you give up your life. But that's only for Jews. That's because of the way Jews live, and the Jews, their laws are strict, that they demand that they give up their life for these things. So therefore, if they would keep these laws, so the Jew keeps those laws, so then he's following the system and giving up his life for the system. But within a B'nai Noach, their laws don't have that requirement. They have to give up their life for those particulars. They don't have to do that. They're not at that level of Kedusha. They're not Mechayev in that. But insofar as the Kiddush Hashem, which is giving up your life for the system, where someone is attacking the system, so someone could attack the system through the Goy, because this Ben Noach are part of the system, and you could have 10 Jews in there watching this Ben Noach violate the thing, and therefore you could attack the system via the system, the attack system itself, via the Ben Noach. Therefore, he would be obligated to, or he could be. That's the question. He could be obligated to give up his life. Next question. Oh, okay. So the next question I want to discuss is the question that you buy in the Gemara, the Svara, about whether Ben Noach is Metzuvah and Kiddush Hashem or is not Metzuvah and Kiddush Hashem. So we said a Svara yesterday, but I have a different one. Okay, that I think I like better. Okay, simpler. Anyway, you know. So I was thinking simple. I mean, I think it's simple. I mean, maybe it's too simple, but the question is that the pasuk says v'nikdashti v'soch b'nei Yisrael, and there will be Kiddush Hashem amongst the Klai Yisrael. So Klai Yisrael, the vehicles of Kiddush Hashem, which is the exclusion of Bnei Noach, right? Now, do you learn that is saying only Jews are obligated in Kiddush Hashem? Okay, the tzivoy of Kiddush Hashem, the obligation of Kiddush Hashem is only for Jews. Jews are commanded in that. Goyim aren't commanded in that. Okay, Kiddush Hashem is not the business of a goy. Goy has no command to do that. Okay, that's in Gash Tzivon Eshot. Torah limited the obligation of Kiddush Hashem to Jews and not to Goyim. Or do you say, no, you can't really, that you can't limit the Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem is really the responsibility of everybody. Okay, the responsibility of mankind. but the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem is Klal Yisrael. Okay, and there's a guy in theory is obligated in Kiddush Hashem, but he can't do Kiddush Hashem because the vehicle is Mikdash Yisroch B'nei Yisrael. The God is Mikdash through people seeing Klal Yisrael. Not through, someone sees what Ben Noach does, it doesn't produce Kiddush Hashem. That's not the vehicle. It's Bisoch through Klal Yisrael. The Torah relegated Kiddush Hashem to the vehicle of Klal Yisrael. But so practically speaking, a guy isn't going to be practically going to have to do Kiddush Hashem because he's not going to be obligated to. He doesn't have to give up his life for the mitzvah, so he's not the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem. But he's obligated. Kiddush Hashem is an obligation on all of mankind. It's limited. The vehicle of expression is Klal Yisrael. Okay, so what's the difference? The difference is that if you say that it's saying is only Jews are obligating Kiddush Hashem and Goyim aren't obligating Kiddush Hashem, so therefore, that's it, period. Goyim are not obligating Kiddush Hashem. You can create whatever scenario you want, but Goyim are not obligating Kiddush Hashem. But if you say just that the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem is Klal Yisrael, but then you could have a Ben Noach who's in front of 10 Jews, who could be a facilitator of the Kiddush Hashem, the Chil Hashem taking place through the vehicle of Klal Yisrael. And since all of mankind is commanded in the Kiddush Hashem, it's the human mission, everyone has to be involved in the Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, when you create that case where the guy will enable a Chil Hashem through Klal Yisrael, or could facilitate a Kiddush Hashem through Klal Yisrael, so the guy's going to have to do it. You know what I mean? So it's like, what's the limit? Definitely the Pasuk says, and that's what's funny about the question is, what do you mean is a guy obligating Kiddush Hashem? It says, Mikdash Yisroch B'nei Yisrael. So the question is, what's that idea of Mikdash Yisroch B'nei Yisrael? Is that limiting the Chiyuv to Klal Yisrael? The Chiyuv, the Tzivoy, the command is only to Klal Yisrael, then a guy is not commanded. Or you say, no, it's not limiting the command. The command is a universal command. But it's limiting the method, the vehicle of Kiddush Hashem to Klal Yisrael. But not the Chiyuv. I think it could be that's what Mark was trying to say yesterday. And maybe someone else was saying something. I mean, I'm just kind of spilling it out a little, simplifying it. But I think that's what he's trying to say. I think you have to ask him. The other thing is like, I think this is a better story than yesterday, when he was saying yesterday. The other ones is like, I mean, the symbol of Gemara is saying, Ben Om Zivu Kedashem, and I am Zivu Kedashem. So this just sounds like what it's asking, and that's the basic idea. And this is actually that question. You know, the other thing I was saying yesterday is like a result in whether Ben Om is obligating Kedashem, but it's a totally different thing. It's Kedashem through the extension of the Torah, it's complicated Svara, and it's not Muchach in any way that that's not evident in any way that that's what's being the question is contingent on. It was just, just making up a svar. I mean, this is just a good, right to the point svar. Yeah, okay. Well, one other point before we go further, which maybe you guys can answer for me. Okay, which is the Ram says, Kol Beis Yisrael Mitzuvin Al Kiddush Hashem HaGadol. Okay, all the house of Israel is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. What does that mean, called Beis Yisrael? What does that even mean, the house of Israel? Should it be Kol Yisrael, or Chayiv Adam, the Kaddish Hashem, or whatever? I mean, what does that mean? Is the whole house of Israel is obligated in Kaddish Hashem? What kind of a language is that altogether? First of all, what does it mean, the house? What does that mean, first of all? And why? Every mitzvah, I mean, Kol Beis Yisrael is obligated to take a lulav on the 15th of Tishrei. I mean, you can say about every mitzvah. What does that mean, the whole Beis Yisrael is obligated?
That's a Rambam?
It's a Rambam, yeah. Rambam, Perikei Aleph Aleph, Nisodei Torah. Okay, so I have a thought. Okay, I don't know if it really answers it fully, but just one thought is that it's a mitzvah of the Tzibor. Okay, it's not a mitzvah there. Like, you can't say Kol Yisrael is Chayav. You can't, the Kiddush Hashem is not really through an individual. It's through the unit of Kol Yisrael. So Beis Yisrael is like the community, the household, the nation of the Jewish people is as a unit is obligating Kiddush Hashem. Of course, that trickles down to individuals, but it's like based on this idea that Mikdash Yisrael B'nei Yisrael, it's through the unit and the vehicle of Klal Yisrael. So the obligation is really on the household, the house of Yisrael. I mean, it's like the community, the social unit of Klal Yisrael is a unit which brings back Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, right. I think the Kiddush Hashem is even the big three. It's that Beis Yisrael gives their lives for these three. Like it's like it's not in a particular instance. It's not the tzibur involved, but it's like the Torah is set up in a way that the Beis Yisrael lives by the commitment to the Torah and gives their life for the system. Like it doesn't exist. The community doesn't exist at in the physical situation of the thing that you're doing, but it's like Kiddush Hashem is that's part of the Torah, that Beis Yisrael gives their life for these three, you know, as opposed to the guy who don't give their life for those three. You know what I mean? Like in the case where it's actually 10 people there, though, it's like the Beis Yisrael is actually involved in it. Here, it's like, when I say you can't have the Kiddush Hashem through one person, I don't mean like, I mean, if there were only one person, there would be no such thing as Kiddush Hashem. But there isn't one person. There's a nation, and the nation at large all gives their life for the big three. So that creates on a national level. That's Kiddush Hashem, and each person that does it is involved in that national thing. But it takes place through that. People know that there's a nation, an Am, who lives by such and such standards. You know, but if you just had one guy around in the world, you know, one Jew, a Jewish nation, or whatever, then it wouldn't have been a Beis Yisrael, and he would give his life for Kiddush Hashem for these three. They wouldn't do anything. And that's why, for instance, the guy isn't obligated to. He's not for Beis Yisrael, so he doesn't have to give his life for these three. So there's nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem. It's through the unit. But he's one instance of that unit. Similar to how in Shas HaShemata works. It's like an expression of the, you know, the big picture. But still, I feel like there's something more there. I don't know. I think it has something to do with what we're talking about. This idea of like the unit of Kal Yisrael. But I don't know. Like if it would have said B'nai Yisrael, I don't know if it would have... I don't know, basically, there's still something funny about it. I don't know. I just feel like there's probably something more to be said. I'm just saying that maybe what we're saying is an approach that I have to explain here. I'm not. I wouldn't have written the Rambam that way. So, you know. If you can't say that you'd be comfortable writing it that way, it means you don't really get it. So. But, okay. So let's go first. Let's do our Gemara, right? So is this how we answer that question? Okay. So let's just one. So now the Gemara wants to know. So the Gemara... Before the Gemara doesn't resolve it, as of this point, the Gemara has an open question. Are B'nai Noach commanded in Kiddush Hashem? Well, they're not commanded in Kiddush Hashem. Maybe they are commanded in Kiddush Hashem. Of course, the only way it's going to happen is if you have 10 Jews and all that, fine. But maybe they're commanded in Kiddush Hashem also. Okay, maybe it's a universal command to all of mankind. Or you say, no, it's only a command to Jewish people. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you, I'll prove it to you, because it's Hashem is B'nai Noach. Count and look at them, none of them are Kiddush Hashem. And if it were that B'nai Noach are obligated in Kiddush Hashem, so then it should have said 8 mitzvahs. It should have said 8 mitzvahs, didn't say 8 mitzvahs, it said only 7. So apparently they're not obligated in Kiddush Hashem. So the Gemara said, no, you can't prove anything. Because really it's the 7 and Kol Avizrayu, all their, how do we translate that? Extensions? Some other word we use, right? Oh, what? Amplifications? Applications? Extensions, attachments. Okay, all their attachments. So I mean, it's basically is there anything where it's Kiddush Hashem? It's like an attachment of this mitzvah, like Avodah Zarah. Is if they tell you to do Avodah Zarah, otherwise they'll kill you. So you're not allowed to do Avodah Zarah. So it's Kiddush Hashem, but it's kind of like an attachment of Avodah Zarah. It's saying is you have to not do Avodah Zarah, rather do Kiddush Hashem. So therefore, it's included in the. So therefore, it's not listed as a separate thing. So unless it is everything. So the question is, what's Avinos Kana about, you know, like what's going on here? Why is it, why should it or should not be listed? And then we also have the question of the Rambam, right? Because the Rambam uses this as a proof, uses the fact that it says it's counted as 8 as a proof that it can be counted as part of one of the 613 mitzvahs for the Jewish people. So he says, you see here, it would have counted as 8, so there it counts 613. The problem is, the Gemara rejected that. Gemara says, no, it's really only 7. It could be chayiv, and it's really only one of the 7. It's part of the 7. So maybe it's part of the 612. How does this prove? How does Ram use this, which is seemingly rejected in Avamina, how does Ram use that to prove that you count it as one of 613? Right? That's what we have. Okay, something like this. The thinking is, that you want to know is, well, let's say the question is do you... Should Kiddush Hashem be classified as a separate mitzvah, or should it be classified as like a part? It's part of some of the other mitzvahs, right? So I would say it depends upon how you're classifying the mitzvahs. Okay, Are you classifying them conceptually or practically? Okay. Because conceptually, Kiddush Hashem is a totally different thing. You're involved in a different activity. You're involved in being Mekadesh Shem Hashem. I mean, doing the mitzvah is like Gila Rayos or whatever. I mean, this is a different idea where you're basically demonstrating to the world that we give our lives for the system. I mean, it's different. I mean, it's true. It may involve the Zohar, may involve whatever, but it's a different kiyum. It's a whole different activity. It's a different, conceptually, it's a different activity, and it's classified. I'm not just doing, when I give my life for eating pig, let's say, in front of 10 people, I'm not just keeping the mitzvah of eating pig. I'm involved in all different things. I'm involved in showing the world that that the system is worth dying for. I'm committed to the system and giving my life for the system. It's conceptually all different kiyum. I mean, I'm also not eating pig, but I'm doing much more than that. It's different conceptually. It's a whole different thing. But practically speaking, all I'm doing is I'm not eating pig. Okay, that's what I'm doing. Practically, what does it mean, Kiddush Hashem? It means keep the mitzvos even under these circumstances. Keep the Sheva mitzvos even if it means that he's going to put a gun to your head and kill you. You still keep them. Okay, that's what it means. What do you have to do, Kiddush Hashem? You don't have to do anything. There's nothing else to do besides for keep the mitzvahs. There's no like going around put up signs about Hashem or anything. That's not Kiddush Hashem. Kiddush Hashem means keep the mitzvahs, even under the most dire circumstances. But it practically, it's just so to speak the extent of your keeping of the other mitzvahs. But that extent conceptually brings into play a whole new quality, a whole new involvement of the person, a whole new mission. He's involved in a whole different thing conceptually. But practically, that's all he's doing, is he's just not bowing down to that idol. Or he's not killing, or he's not sleeping with that woman, he's not whatever it is. So that's the question is that the Gemara thought originally, so it says, how do you classify mitzvah? So you think classify mitzvah conceptually. It says, look, if the Chabag and Kiddush Hashem, isn't that a whole different concept than just the Avodah Zarah, than the big city and the other seven? So it should be eight mitzvahs, should be seven mitzvahs, and then Kiddush Hashem. So Gemara answers no. Inhu the cholav Israel, which means, and I think it's saying is that you have to understand the system of Mitzvah Bnei Noach. The system of Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach is not like a conceptual system, and it's not classified. The count isn't a conceptual count. It's counted on so to speak on a practical level. Okay, practically speaking, what do they have to do? They have to keep seven things. Okay, they have to keep these seven things now and. It's a detail. The count is not based upon like the conceptual breakups, but it's based upon the practical framework. Like for instance, I think this is a decent example. Okay, I don't know if it's exactly the same, but I think it's related. Which is that one of the mitzvos of Bnei Noach is Gila Rayos, right? One of the shemitzvos of Bnei Noach is Gila Rayos, okay, which means they can't sleep with who? Lots of different people. Okay? If you go over that mitzvah in Tayag mitzvahs, there's no mitzvah in Tayag mitzvahs called Gila Rayos. There are many mitzvahs called Gila Rayos. So if you look in Asuri Bia, there are many, many surim which come under, for instance, sleeping with your sister, sleeping with your mother, sleeping with your sister-in-law, sleeping. I mean, they're all different. Right? And the idea is like in a, like for Klal Yisrael, like Surah Bia is like a whole conceptual system, and every relative is a different sugya, and all different it's a different answer. But in the framework of Bnei Noach, it's basically said they're sexually restricted. Okay, they have sexual prohibitions, which means is that if you want to be a human being, you can't be totally flagrant to your sexuality. You have to have certain restriction upon your sexuality. And there are a lot of different forms. There's this relative, that relative, that relative. I mean, it's all essentially, practically speaking, it's just to restrict your sexuality to certain classes. And it's almost accidental, the details. Even though conceptually they're different, there are different relationships, different levels of relationship, different halachos by them. But it's like, they're grouped. The mitzvahs are, they're grouped together. Yidurayas is like a group of mitzvahs. Like Avodah Zarah also, I think, is, Avodah Zarah is one of them. But I mean, there are a lot of Yisrael Avodah Zarah. It includes under the Ben Noach of seven mitzvahs. It's not just seven. If you want to look in Taryag, there's more than seven. There's more than one Avodah Zarah. There are many Avodah Zarahs, and there are prohibited in many of them. I think all the ones that are Jews chayiv misa, and I think Ben Achiz is obligated. Okay, like there's certain Avodah Zarah things which are just allowed for Jews, like related to Avodah Zarah. I think those they're not included. They're not asur. But whatever, there are many. So what I'm saying is like the count of Taryag is like based on conceptual categorization, but the count in Bnei Noach is like a practical count. So that's what I'm saying is it's Inu v'Cholav Izrayu means that in Shevet Bnei Noach the count is them and all their attachments? Is that what you said? Their attachments. Which means, is that practically speaking, the Kiddush Hashem means these seven mitzvahs, you gotta keep them no matter what. Or even if someone puts a gun to your head in front of 10 Jews, you still have to keep them. So practically speaking, it's not gonna classify it as a different mitzvah. You tell a Ben Noach, you have to keep it. It's the rules of this mitzvah. It's the rules of this first mitzvah. It's the rules of the seven mitzvahs. Each of the seven mitzvahs has a rule built into it. But in Klal Yisrael, in Tayag mitzvahs, it's a different idea. Then the mitzvahs are classified categorically, conceptually, they're different categories. So it's not just even though practically the way you do Kiddush Hashem is by not doing a Vodzara when a guy has a gun to your head, but I'm doing a different thing conceptually. May practically be the same exact thing, but am I not keeping, am I not eating, or am I not eating treif because, when I'm hungry, versus am I not eating treif when a guy has a gun to my head in front of 10 Jews, it's a totally different activity. I mean, practically not, conceptually it is. One of them I'm just restraining my taiva, and the other one I'm proclaiming to the world that the system is true and I'm not going to give, I'm going to give my life for it. Totally different thing, conceptually. So the Gemara, that's what Gemara is showing. I don't know if it's really like a Havamin or like the Gemara really held originally that Shem is Menoch are, is showing you. And if you don't say they're obligating Kiddush Hashem, so then it should have been an eighth one. But it says, no, it's not true because that's not the nature of the count that Shem is Menoch. So you can't prove the fact that it's not counted because I'll tell you that the nature of the count of Shem is Menoch is the practical count. Again, I don't know if the Havmin actually seriously held the position that the count of Shem Zanach is a conceptual count, but it's working through asking the question to show you why that's not a raya. I mean, it's showing you that you can't prove it from there because that's the nature of the count of Shem Zanach. But if you'd put aside for a second the fact that the count of Shem Zanach is different, if you just want to look at the conceptual nature of the mitzvos, then you could see from this Gemara that it really is an eighth mitzvah. Conceptually, it really is an eighth mitzvah. And the only reason why the Gemara rejected it is because you don't understand the nature of the mitzvah, the nature of Shem Mitzvah Noach. That's not the way we count Shem Mitzvah Noach. Shem Mitzvah Noach are based on the practical categorization. But you see from this Gemara that Kiddush Hashem has what it takes to be counted as a mitzvah. So when it comes to the Tariq mitzvah, so it's going to count as a mitzvah. So why not? The Sagmas is definitely a conceptual system and definitely a conceptual account. See, I think the Rambam is showing is because, and this is something which is, I don't really know all the particulars, but the Rambam, there's big machloksim about how you count 613. And not everyone holds, there are lots of rules. The Rambam has 14 principles, so, by which he uses to count the mitzvahs. And the Bahag has all different counts of mitzvahs. So there are many to count, and there's big machloksim about it. So I don't know exactly. Apparently, there's some question in there what the Rambam is dealing with: is Kiddush Hashem have what it takes to be counted as a mitzvah? And I don't know why he doesn't tell you what it is that he's not so sure about, or what maybe there is the Bahagel that wasn't a mitzvah because of some reason. I'm not sure exactly what he's arguing about, but he says you may argue. How do I know that Kiddush Hashem has what it takes? Maybe for some list of reasons it shouldn't quite count as a mitzvah. But he says, but you see from this Gemara in Sanhedrin that it should have counted as a mitzvah. It should have been an eighth mitzvah. And if you were looking at the Mitzvah Noach as a conceptual list, then it really would have been in the mitzvahs. And the only reason it didn't is because of the nature of Shem Mitzvah Noach. But when it comes to Taryag, so then it should be counted. You see, the Gemara was willing to count it. So if you'll tell me that there's some reason why it's not significant enough, or it's not whatever enough, or conceptually it's not its own, maybe you'd argue conceptually it's not its own thing, so then why do I have Avmin as counted as an eighth mitzvah? Apparently it is conceptually its own thing. Apparently, whatever reason you would have thought not to count it, you thought it would have counted, then the Gemara shouldn't have said counted by Ben Och, it shouldn't have been a question. So you see from this Gemara is that apparently in the conceptual framework is really it should have been counted. And the only answer was that's not Shem Mitzvah Noach. It's very interesting because what's interesting about this, I think, is that that if you just learn this Gemara without the Rambam, I'm not sure about this, but I can't remember how I did it at the time. It's just been a while, but you could argue you'd have a harder time seeing the Svara of what this Gemara is getting at. You know, then once you see from the, I mean, I think the Rambam is a tool. It really helps. It's a hint. Because you see from the Rambam, how you can answer the Rambam is the Gemara says, you should count it. No, you don't count it. And yet the Rambam is bringing in Avim, you know, which is, you know. So, and this is, I think, what you picked up, Matt, what you're saying also, is that it must be that the Gemara's Avim, you know, was, the Gemara's answer is that no, you can't count it because the nature of Shevet Noah. So therefore, it's legitimate for the Rambam to use the Havaminim of the Gemara to show that you do count it in Taryag. You know what I mean? But if you looked at it as like a, if you looked at the Gemara's answer of Inu V'chol V'zrayu as not being generic to B'nai Noach, but as just being a concept about mitzvos, or not being specific to B'nai Noach, but a concept about mitzvos or whatever, so then you wouldn't, the Rambam doesn't make any sense. But if you didn't have that Rambam, it's a good chance you would have like made a question about how you understand Kiddush Hashem or something like that. I don't know, you know. But then, but if that would be the case, then really, in, for us also, you shouldn't count it. You know what I mean? So I think, I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, I guess, when, especially when it comes to counting mitzvahs, I guess it's a good idea to look at Sefer Mitzvahs. But it's hard to know. I mean, I don't know. Somehow, because I was just looking to Kiddush Hashem, I looked at that Rambam and Sefer Mitzvahs. You know, but it's a good example of how a source could be helpful. I'm not sure if you would. I mean, it could be you would have come to Svara anyways. You know, I'm not sure. But certainly the source points you in that direction. Okay, so basically that's basically why again. Let's look at this Tosfos. I don't really have a Svara yet, but I have an approach. But the Tosfos is Ben Noach Mitzvah Al Kiddush Hashem. It's on Ayin Dalet Amud Beis. Again, another question we didn't answer is the Rashi, the Stira and the Rashi, the parent Stira. Why Rashi first chose the Torah and then he seemed to it's all mitzvahs. So I don't really have an answer for that yet. But if anyone does, you let me know. Okay, I have to ask Rabbi Shimon. I think he told me he had an answer for it. Yeah. Okay. So this Tosfos says like this: is again the question the Gemara wants to know is the Ben Noach obligating Kiddush Hashem? Okay, it's a short little Tosfos. Is the Ben Noach obligating Kiddush Hashem? So the Gemara, so Tosfos wants to know simple: is that what are you asking? Does the Ben Noach have to give his life for the Shevet Ben Noach? Right? Now, does a Jew have to give his life for the Taryag Mitzvos? Okay? So, no. In general, he doesn't. Okay? In general, besides the big three, in general, he doesn't. Why not? How do you know not? Because it says V'chaibah. If it didn't say V'chaibahim, then you would have said, apparently, right, V'chaibahim teaches you, you should live by the mitzvahs, not die by the mitzvahs. If the pasuk didn't say V'chaibahim, the natural assumption would have been that you have to give your life for the mitzvahs. So now, by the guy, it doesn't say V'chaibahim. V'chaibahim is written by the Jews. It doesn't say V'chaibahim. So therefore, forget Kiddush Hashem. The Torah says that Ben Noach has to keep these seven mitzvahs. So of course he should have to give his life back for them. Not because of Kiddush Hashem, but just because it doesn't say V'chaibahim. It's the only reason why a Jew, since it says V'chaibahim, you should live by them, so why would I ever have to give my life for eating treif? But you need Kiddush Hashem to show, you know, because Kiddush Hashem I'd have to. But by a Ben Noach, you should just say simple, forget Kiddush Hashem and do Kiddush Hashem. It just, these are commandments, absolute commandments that a guy has to keep, period. And do the Kiddush Hashem. So what's the Gemara's question? That's Tosfos' problem. Okay, so Tosfos' answer is no. Is that really, it's not true. Really, if you didn't have any v'chaibahim, any anything, you'd say naturally say that when God commands you in a mitzvah, you do not have to give your life for it. Okay, that's the assumption. Again, in Tosfos' question, the assumption was if God commands you in something, the default is you got to give your life for it. And it's only because v'chaibahim that you don't, right? So that was the default. The maskana is, no, that's the wrong default. The default is, if God commands you to do something, you do not have to give your life for it. And therefore, Ben Noach should not have to give his life for it. And therefore, the only reason that we would have to is because of Kiddush Hashem. So you'll say, so why by the Jews do you have to write V'chaibahim? Because if you're telling me the default is that you don't have to give your life for the mitzvahs, so then why do you need V'chaibahim? Even without V'chaibahim, I know that I don't have to give my life. So it says no, because since we know that by killing and by arayos, the Jew has to give his life, that's a pasuk, the Jew has to give his life, so you'd say, oh, so apparently by Jews, the Torah is saying you do have to give your life for the mitzvahs. So therefore, the Torah goes out of its way and says, no, v'chaibahem is in general, you don't have to give your life for the mitzvahs. Okay, so the v'chaibahem is countering that which you know by Gilarias, you know, by Gilarias, by Jews. But by a Ben Noach, where there is no halachos by Gilarias or whatever, just straight, so the assumption is going to be that the Ben Noach does not have to give his life. And unless you invoke Kiddush Hashem, the guy would not have to give his life. And therefore the Gemara is asking, is Ben Noach obligating Kiddush Hashem? Okay? Fine. So hopefully you follow the Cheshbon. But the punchline is, I think the punchline is that the Havamina held that the default is, if God commands you in a mitzvah, you must give your life for it. Okay? Without any Kiddush Hashem, just straight. God commands you a mitzvah, you have to give your life for it. And the Maskana is saying, no, the default is, if God commands you in a mitzvah, you would not have to give your life for it. Right? So maybe we could just define that. Okay, this is just an appealing question in its own, right? I mean, if God says to do so-and-so, now let's say the only way for you to do it is for you to lose your life. So, or maybe I should say, God says, don't do so-and-so. Okay? And you come to a situation where the only way for you to not do it is your life is on the line. You have to. If you're going to not do it, someone's going to kill you. So would you say automatically the natural assumption would be, look, God said I can't do it. I am going to die. Tough break. Or do you say, no, the natural assumption would be that you don't have to listen. Right? I mean, I think that's what it boils down to, which is an interesting question, right? So I don't know, could we explain that a little bit? That's the question. Could we give a little bit more insight into that? Those are exceptions. Right, it's true. I mean, so assuming, again, the maskana is that really the default is you don't have to give your life. But then comes along God and says, by Gila Rios, my killing, you do have to give your life. So now the natural assumption, that's been enough, that you'd have a right to universalize and say that by Jews, God is positing that by Jews, you do have to give your life. So even though the natural default is you don't have to give your lives, Klal Yisrael is a different level, and Klal Yisrael has to give their lives. So it comes along with Chaibahim and says, no. Klal Yisrael is the same as Bnei Noach. Really don't have to give your lives. And those were only exceptions. So you need the Chaibahim is limiting those and saying, don't universalize and say that that's defining a new paradigm for the Jews. On the contrary, no, the paradigm of the Jews is the same as for Gaim. Basically, you don't have to give your life. Chaibahim. But that's an exception. Those are exceptions. Right, so that's fine. So again, so if it boils down to the same question, I think, is what's the default? What's the assumption? Let me go with that. Okay, so I'm thinking like Danny is saying. Okay, or let me just say, there's two ways you could look at the mitzvahs. Okay, you could say, let's say, don't eat treif. Okay, so you could say, as it's saying, is eating treif is prohibited. Okay, it's evil, it's bad, it's terrible, it's off limits, it's just that's it. You can just say it's a period. Saying is this is an illegal action. Okay, period. So if that's the way you look at it, so then what do you mean by this? Otherwise I'm going to die. Sorry, it doesn't matter. The God's basically saying is you can't eat it. Okay, it's not yours. You can't do it. And you could argue maybe about Zohar is like that. Well, Zohar is an illegal action, at least for Klal Yisrael, I would say. It's off limits. You can never do that, period. Okay, nothing to do with no exceptions, no sands or bots. That's it. Torah is basically setting up the absolute, actions or prohibitions. Okay, that's one way to look at it. The other way is that the Torah is a Derech HaChayim. But I don't mean that in a philosophical sense. I mean in a practical sense. It's a way of life. So what it's telling you is you have many different ways to live your life. You can live your life by eating treif. You can live your life by eating kosher. You can live your life by doing this. You can live your life by bowing down to idols. You can live your life by doing this. By that, you know, there are many different ways to live your life. And it's a guide of how you should live your life. Or a father, like I said, example, a father who says, this is the way you should live in my house. Okay, these are the rules. This is the method of living in my house. You have to follow so-and-so rules. But if following the rules is going to mean you're going to die, then that's not what he's talking about. He's assuming that both options are ways to live. In other words, given that you have different ways to live in front of you, this is the one that the Father is selecting. But given that you have different ways to live in front of you, God is saying, "Is live this way, v'chai b'ahem." And how should you live? You should live in that. Okay, live in these laws. Okay, this is the way in which you should live. So it's carving out for you a type of a life that you should have. But the premise of that is that you're living. Okay, if your only option is to, if following the law is going to mean that you're going to die, that's not what the Torah is doing. The Torah is not saying this is an absolute law, period, die by them. Okay, their methods of dying or bringing about your death or absolutes that can't be, maintained. It means, again, it's a program within the given assumption of life. It's telling you how you should live. But once it comes up against the question of, once it comes up against my life and me not living, that's a different question. Then you have to say, well, did God say that I should die for it? That's a different discussion. And just the command alone doesn't in any way indicate that you should die for it. Okay, just because God commanded the Bnei Noach in seven laws doesn't mean that that saying is this is the way you have to live. You want to live as a human being, this is the way you have to live. Now, it doesn't mean that if it comes with a different option about dying, that's God didn't say that. So without saying that you're chayav in Kiddush Hashem, or without saying that you're obligated in that, then you wouldn't know that. So that's what it says. The Havin would be is that you just look at a law as like an absolute. But it's saying is that's not the primary. The idea is it's not and again, the Havin would be, so you look at laws as absolute, and it's only by Klal Yisrael that the Torah said, v'chayav bohem. That the Torah is seven. Well, that was Havmina. Havmina tells us, look, the seven is Bnei Noach for mankind. These are absolutes. You want to live. In other words, you want to basically, mankind, man's not allowed to do these seven things, period. Okay, that's the Havmina. Okay, but by Jews, God's giving Tariq Mitzvahs. Tariq Mitzvahs is V'chai Bohem. That's the Derech HaChayim, and that's what you should live by them, and therefore you don't have to give your life for them. But the seven laws are basically just absolute laws. And that's and therefore Tosas asks, and then what's the question? It's nothing to do with Kiddush Hashem, it's just the seven laws are absolute laws. So Tosas answers, no, that's a mistake. That really the natural assumption of the God's laws are they're always laws of ways to live. That's the premise, is that a law is a way to live. And therefore no one would be obligated to give up their life. But now comes along, you see, when a Kavai Jews comes along Rotzeach and Gila Rayos, where the Torah says you have to give up your life. So you might think is that, yeah, the basic laws to mankind, seven mitzvahs, are basically ways to live. But the tariq mitzvahs are God is setting up absolute laws, period. And that's the way Torah is. That's the tariq. That's the level of a Jew, is that he follows absolute laws. No ifs, ands, or buts. No. V'chai bohem is showing you that the Jews and the Goyim alike, the God's commands are a method of living, a way to live. And it's just by these exceptions. And the big three are basically things which are, those are absolutes. Those are absolutes which can never be violated. Those are not a way to live. It's not the way to live that you should live the life without Avodah Zarah. No, it's simply a prohibition. You can't do Avodah Zarah, period. And I don't care why, it doesn't matter. You can't do it. You can't do Gilei Raos, you can't do Resicha. Okay? Good? Danny. So the one thing we didn't do is explain that Rashi, right? Explain that Rashi. Why Rashi starts off when the Gemara asks the question whether Ben Noach is obligated in Kiddush Hashem. Rashi explains Ben Noach is warned against Avodah Zarah, and if someone tells him to violate and don't get killed, is he commanded not to? Is he commanded to be in Kiddush Hashem, or is he not commanded? I don't know. But then the next Rashi seems to say it's by any of the mitzvahs. So I don't know. It's a good question why he does that. Okay, let's leave that open. Okay, so that's it basically. So that's the Kiddush Hashem. So again, there's other stuff in Kiddush Hashem, if anyone's interested. We skipped over an Amud where basically you get to the Gemara's about the big three, how you know the big three. And it's like an Amud we skipped over on Einof on 10. I skipped over, and there's a big, very big Tosfos there. There's a question, yeah, there's a big Tosfos there. Question comes up, one of the big questions that comes up is by a woman, by Gila Rayas, does a woman have to give up her life for Gila Rayas because she's like raped? Because the woman's passive in the sexual act. So do you say that she has to force somehow fight and let herself be killed somehow, fight to the death, or doesn't apply by that. By a man, this guy, if they put a gun to your head and say you had to do it, sleep with this woman, that's an action. But by a woman, it's not a role as passive. It's you know, that's what this toast is about. By Esther, the question comes up is how Esther slept with Ahasuerus, because she was a queen and he was a king, and he was a guy. But she was married also. She was married. That's the question. I mean, yeah, that's the sugya, but whatever. So what we're going to do, we're not going to do that. I'm just saying, if anyone's interested in doing something over break, it's interesting. So what we're going to do next, though, is what I say, Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Okay, and Ayin Vav Amud Beis, basically what we're going to do is the action of killing. What is Ritzicha? What types of killing are you chayav for? If you throw someone in front of a lion, if you drown them, throw them into a lake, hold them underwater, put them in the sun, put them in front of a lot of ants. Okay, lots of gory stuff. Okay, so that's what we're going to do now for a little while. Okay, burn them. Okay, so it's Ayin Vav Amud Beis. Starting line, I don't know. It's a good question. Oh, that's a good question. I don't know. So I guess we'll have to, next week I'm definitely not going to share. Thursday and next week I'm not going to share. The week after that, maybe we'll send out an email if see who's interested. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. But you'll if I send out an email asking if you'll be able to attend, respond if you will. And I say, and maybe I'll do something. But I'm not going to start this stuff. I guess I'll start this stuff the week back. Everyone's back. What date is that? Does anyone know? 28th. It's like a Monday, so I'll start probably that week.
28th is Thursday.
28th is Thursday, so it's like 30th or 31st, or it's February, whatever, February 1st, around there, right?
I think we're going to be back by Thursday.
31st is a Sunday.
Well, by Thursday?
Yeah.
Okay. What?
Well,
the Thursday. So maybe we'll start the Thursday then. Whatever, whenever that is. But I guess so. Before that, if I would do that week, I'd probably do something else, which I'm not sure what it would be.
That's 2 weeks from